you for today being Thanksgiving Sunday. We thank you, Father, for all the things you have done for us, for which we are thankful and for which we are grateful. Oh God, you have been so good to us. We do not take it for granted, the things that we get to participate in, the things that we get to have and own, the people you have placed in our lives, the counsel you have made available to us, the provision we have, the houses we live in, the cars we drive, the children we have, the jobs we have, everything you have given us, including and especially our good health. We are grateful to you, Lord. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, we recognize that a man can receive nothing except it be given to him from above. So there is no one who has anything who did not get it from you. And there is no one who has anything who can complain that you have not cared for them. There is no one who has anything who can complain that God has neglected them. Because you have not neglected any of us. But that everything we have, all that we have, all that we are, even all that we hope to be, we owe it all to you. We are grateful unto you, Lord. And we join the songwriter in saying, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Today we ask, O God, that you forgive us our sins. Where we have complained when we shouldn't be complaining, O God, forgive us. Where we have been ungrateful when we should have been grateful, forgive us. Where we have been discontent when we should have been content, O God, be merciful unto us and forgive us. And give us an eye to see your hand at work in all things. Give us an eye to see the provision of God. Help us to count our blessings and to name them one by one. Set us up to see what the Lord has done and continues to do in our lives. And we pray, Lord, that as you give us the revelation of how good you have been to us, then may it fill our hearts with gratitude, O God. May we not be so obsessed with what we wish we had that we cannot see what we already have. Help us, O God, with hearts of gratitude. And bless us this morning as we share your word. It's even a privilege to have a church to go to have a place where the word of God is spoken to us on a regular basis. We do not take it for granted. And we thank you, Lord, for such a provision you have made for us. Bless our time here this morning. Anoint the preaching and teaching of your word. Let the gift of God arise and bless God's people in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God, for this beautiful morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and put your hands together for the Lord. And let's take our books. We're studying how to pray. Amen. And this is a wonderful book that has been written by our pastor, Bishop Dagg. And we want to go through what he has provided for us this morning. Amen. Amen. Right. So in the Sunday service, we are still on chapter 1. And in the weekday service, we have just completed chapter 2, Why Prayer is Mysterious. Amen. So if you've not been in the weekday service, you would have to read chapter 2. But today I want us to finish chapter 1 and hopefully enter chapter 3 if we have the time. Amen. So in chapter 1, we have basically been trying to lay a good foundation for this study to understand that prayer is important, isn't it? And we have a very good example in the Bible, you know, of someone who prayed often and who prayed regularly. Someone whose life defies all the reasons and excuses we have for not praying, isn't it? So God strategically put someone like Daniel in the Bible and gave us a glimpse into his life and into his prayer life. Someone who has a life that most of us wish we had, you know, and someone who was successful in more ways than many of us have been or are. Amen. And yet who prayed? And God is showing us by that example that if Daniel can pray, then you can also pray. Amen. Amen. If Daniel can pray, then you can also pray. Hallelujah. If Daniel, the prophet, who was also a prime minister and who had a very busy secular job, then you can also pray. Hallelujah. We understood how Daniel represents a leader of a nation who prayed. You know, leaders of nations are not idle people. They are often very busy people. You know, they go to work round the clock. You know, they have to take phone calls in the middle of the night. Anything that happens in their state, in their city, in their country concerns them, you know. And they have to deal with a lot of opposition, plus a lot of insults from people they don't even know. You know, it's not easy to be a leader of a big thing. Hallelujah. Much worse a nation. So Daniel prayed to show us that you do not have an excuse for not praying. Amen. So tell your neighbor today that you do not have an excuse for not praying. And tell that person, you are not excused from prayer. Hallelujah. Right. So we felt that we understood that Daniel must have been operating by certain principles. And we went through a number of them. And I think we came all the way up to number 7, which is that did we do number 7? No, I think we stopped at number 6. Prayer must continue both in troubled times and in times of peace. Hallelujah. That prayer must continue both in times of trouble and in times of peace. That is to say that prayer is not something we do only when we are in trouble. Amen. Prayer is not for troubled days. Prayer is not just for times when you don't know what to do. Those are great times to pray. Do you understand? Those are great times to pray. But prayer is not just for those times. Hallelujah. Prayer is not just for those times. Prayer is for all the time. And everyone needs to learn how to pray both in times of peace and also in times of trouble. What do you think? Amen. Amen. Right. Now, today we want to continue to number 7, principle number 7. What was the 7th principle, or yet another principle by which Daniel was living? Hallelujah. And that principle, number 7, says, every nation needs lots of prayer and prayerful leaders. Hallelujah. Every country needs lots of prayer and prayerful leaders. Hallelujah. It is very important when you live in a country to pray for that country. Amen. We must learn to pray for the countries in which we live, especially for the leaders of the country. Hallelujah. Our lives are pretty much controlled by the leaders of the country where we live. And the decisions they take or do not take actually affect and do shape our lives. They go a long way to determine the quality of life that you can live in that particular place. Hallelujah. That is why we cannot act like we do not care. Amen. We cannot act exactly, why are you doing this? Do you want to see me better and clearer or what? Amen. All right. So we cannot act like we do not care. If you say you do not care, you will soon find out that you care. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says we must pray for kings and rulers. You know, now let's read that paragraph, the first part. There is no doubt that the world is ruled by wicked spirits in high places. The earth is filled with people who are at war with each other. Famine, war, epidemics, and disasters abound. You just have to keep your eyes on the international news and you'll hear about one major disaster after another. You know, dictators of all kinds abound in many nations. Like snakes which shed their skins, many dictators of yesteryear have a new democratic look. You know, then many national leaders are actually under the influence of evil spirits, and that makes them do the things they do. Hallelujah. Now, this is something we must really understand. If you were the devil and you wanted to control a lot of people, would you not be most interested in the one who leads those people? Wow. Hallelujah. So one of the ways that the devil controls whole groups of people, entire nations, entire cities, is to control the leader, the person whose decisions, you know, make the city or nation the way it is. Hallelujah. So demons are interested in decision makers. They are interested in deciders, people who decide things for other people or for large numbers of people. And the devil is interested in such people. Hallelujah. And so it is very, very important that we pray for them, because many of them really are under the influence of evil spirits. And not only are they under the influence of evil spirits, but many actually voluntarily submit themselves to the leadership and control of evil spirits just to secure themselves and to secure their powers and to secure their position, so that their position will not go away. You know, there are a lot of perks that come with leading at that kind of a level. And many people, once they taste it, don't want to leave it. Do you see? So when they get into that place, they try to secure themselves, you know. And when man is trying to find a way of securing himself, he would usually go and consult the occult, consult all kinds of, you know, media and all kinds of spirits and other things that, you know, require so many things done in the dark and so on. And you will not understand that the person who is actually leading you is in league with the forces of darkness to make things the way they are in a nation. Hallelujah. The Bible calls them principalities and powers. You know, principalities and powers. Rulers of darkness. You know, spirits that rule in certain places. That explains sometimes why neighborhoods are different. Why one part of town is different from another part of town. I mean, you just wonder. What, it's just sometimes a street dividing the neighborhoods, you know, or maybe a couple of streets. But you just wonder why what happens here does not happen here. Do you understand? Why doesn't it just cross over? You know, but the truth is that what you see here, you do not see here, because what causes what you see here does not live here. Do you see what I'm saying? What you see here is not here, because the one who is doing what you are seeing here, he has not moved over here to do it. Hallelujah. That is the reason why sometimes you see that neighborhoods, cities, so many different places are different as you go from place to place. Yeah. Amen. So it is important when you are a Christian and you live in a country to understand that one of your duties is to pray. Amen. Amen. One of your duties is to pray for the country. And if we had leaders who prayed, I believe that God would guide them and God will help them and our countries will do better than they are doing. Amen. What do you think? Yes. Amen. Amen. If we had leaders who prayed like Daniel, you know, who went to the Lord and prayed, and prayed probably about his job, and prayed about policies, and prayed about ways out and what to do. Hallelujah. Because in the Bible, you do see that prayer has influenced economies. Do you see? You see people praying and things changing in the land. And you see a time of famine and somebody praying and something changing. Hallelujah. And so it is important for us to believe that prayer can help the nation. Prayer can make the leaders make laws that favor you. Hallelujah. Now, when you go to 1 Timothy, for example, if you would go with me to 1 Timothy, let's read this scripture before we continue. Hey, where's my Bible? Okay. Wow. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I exhort therefore, you know, I exhort means I encourage. I exhort therefore, or I encourage therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. That means pray for all people. Amen. Then in verse 2, he says, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. He says we must pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Hallelujah. So God is showing us clearly that there is a direct link between your quality of life and whoever is in charge of you. Isn't it? And also that there is a link between how much you pray for the people in charge of you and the quiet and peaceable life that you get to live under them. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. So perhaps one of the reasons why you may not enjoy a quiet and peaceable life is because you don't pray for the one who actually maps out the kind of life you get to live. Isn't it? Yeah. It says to live peaceably and to live a godly life and to live an honest life. See, sometimes in certain places, it's difficult to live an honest life. Do you get it? You cannot be honest. You have to lie all the time. You have to, you know, be crooked. You have to learn how to be a type of, you know, lay swindler. You know, you're not a professional swindler, but like a type of lay swindler. In your own quiet and cool way, you are also a swindler. Because the whole place is like that, isn't it? You cannot do anything without, you know, maybe bribing somebody or doing something or passing some corner. You know, you can't be honest. You can't live an honest life in the place. And the Bible says it has to do with the kings and the people who are in authority. Hallelujah. And so God says we have to pray for them. We must pray for them. Amen. Not just criticize them. It's easy to criticize those who are in authority. But we must pray for them. Pray for them so that you may be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. So you can serve God peacefully. Amen. So you can practice godliness and honesty and in simplicity. Just live your life. And the Bible says this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. So every nation needs lots of prayers. Amen. And every nation needs prayerful leaders. We must pray for the nation. Hallelujah. Pray for America. Hallelujah. Pray for this country. Pray for this country. I mean, the way this country continues to go, you can see evil is growing, evil is multiplying, evil is maturing. You know, the way life is lived here is now changing, isn't it? Yeah, it's changing. By the time our children and our children's children get ready to live, I can't even begin to imagine what kind of world this place will be. Are you understanding what I'm saying? What kind of place this will be? Whether godliness will be possible at all. You know, some, if we are not careful, the whole thing will be so mixed up. Even the church will be so mixed up with the world that you cannot even tell one from the other. Do you see what I'm saying? You cannot even tell one from the other. The other day I was looking at a certain dance somewhere. And then as I was watching the dance, I had to sort of replace myself. Where am I? Is it church or, you know, where did I see this dance? And I realized that, I mean, I'm even confused. Do you see what I'm saying? And a lot of things come into the church which did not belong in the church before. Hallelujah. So let's be prayerful. Amen. Let's pray for the nation. We must always remember to pray for the nation. And always remember that your quality of life, or the quality of life that you get to live, you know, has a lot to do with your prayer for the kings and rulers and those who are in authority. Anyone whose decisions affect you, you better pray for the person. Amen. Anyone whose decisions affect you, anyone who has some kind of authority over your life, whether they are in a school or in a home or in a job or whatever it is that gives the person some authority over you, you better pray for the person, because the devil will be interested in that person. Hallelujah. He'll be interested in that person because affecting him affects your life. Hallelujah. Say amen. All right, number eight, it is important to pray for long periods of time. It is important to pray for long periods of time. Hallelujah. Right. Says, years ago, the only prayers I knew about were those that the priest read out in the church. The longest I could pray was 30 to 40 seconds, and that was when I recited the Lord's Prayer. There were three prayers I knew how to pray: the Lord's Prayer, Hail Mary, and a prayer to the angel of God. However, as I grew in the Lord, I learned how to pray for myself. You know, I can now pray for several hours. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus prayed for 3 hours in the Garden of Gethsemane. And when you look down there at the bottom of the page, you see a scripture. It says, and he went further, a little further, from Matthew chapter 26. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. And he cometh to the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? He went away again the second time and prayed, and came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Hallelujah. So Jesus was praying for a long period, and he had gone with his companions to pray, and he came back, and when he came back and found them sleeping, he was shocked. Wow. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Does it look like that to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Says, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? I mean, he was shocked. It's like, could you not watch with me 1 hour? It sounds like 1 hour is the minimum that Jesus was expecting them to be able to do. Isn't it? That Jesus felt like 1 hour is like nothing. I mean, 1 hour? You know? It's like you give someone maybe a cup of water to drink or something, 1 cup of water, and you come back and the person has left maybe about half of it. And you look at him and say, what? You could not drink just 1 cup of water? You know, what you mean is that 1 cup of water is so little, is so basic, is so ordinary, that you're expecting that the least you should be able to do is to be able to finish this water. Isn't it? So Jesus said, what? Could you not watch? Watch means to stay awake. Isn't it? Means to stay awake. That's why we have watch night. Watch night service means a night where we are awake. You see, not a night where you are looking at things, but it's just watch night means you are staying awake. Hallelujah. It means that you're staying. Is that Chichi? What a shock. Amen. So watch night means you are watching. That means you are staying, keeping watch, isn't it? Yeah, it means you are staying awake. So Jesus said, you could not stay awake with me for 1 hour. And he says, what? Hallelujah.
Amen.
So God is shocked that we cannot pray for 1 hour. Jesus is surprised when we cannot stay up for 1 hour to pray. And I'm not surprised at his surprise. Because there are so many things that we are able to do enthusiastically for much more than 1 hour. Is it not true? We can do so many things for much longer than 1 hour, and we would not even realize that 1 hour is passing. Isn't it? Yeah. Like watching television, like playing video games, isn't it? Like doing our nails. Yeah. Like doing our nails, like cutting our hair, like fixing our hair, like plaiting our hair, you know, so many different things. Some time ago, it used to be that when they are looking for DNA evidence, let's say someone is murdered or something, you go to the murder scene, one of the things they look for is strands of hair, you know, and by that you are able to identify a person. Well, that is not the same anymore. Because if you pick the hair even from the person, it can easily point to a different person. The world has changed. You see what I'm saying? So you may be looking for maybe an African criminal and you find yourself in Brazil. Or India. Isn't it? Or some place like that. Because, you know, the genes, the DNA in the hair, you got it from the person, but it's from somewhere else. Pray that it doesn't even lead to a horse. Hallelujah. But that is fine. Do whatever you need to do to look beautiful. But Christ was surprised that it seems these people had time for everything. They had hours for everything. But when it came to spending time with God, 1 hour seemed like it was too long. And so they were waiting. After 15 minutes, after 20 minutes, you know, Peter said, excuse me, can I just, this is my spot. And then John said, can I lie by your side? Then Andrew says, could you two move a little further to the other side so I can also lie down? And then came Bartholomew. And then came Thomas and all these other guys. And they were all there. And Jesus came and not even one of them was awake. All of them were asleep. So he came and said, "What? I can't even believe what you're doing. That you cannot pray for 1 hour. You could not watch for 1 hour. You could not watch for 1 hour." So he left them and went a second time. When he came back, I just wonder why Jesus kept coming back. Wow. Don't you wonder too? Because he was praying himself somewhere. So he just kept coming back to check on the guys. And each time he came, three times, each time he came, the guys were asleep. You know, and when they would hear him coming, then they would just wake up, you know. They would wake up and continue, "Shabba, abba, shabba." And then Jesus would say, "I caught you." Wow. So he would go again and then come back and come back. So when he came and found the guys still sleeping, the Bible says he just left them. He says he just left them. And in another account, the Bible says he told them, "You need to watch and pray. Otherwise you enter temptation." Hallelujah. You watch and pray. Otherwise, some things will roll themselves into your life. Do you understand? Prayer keeps certain temptations and trials and testings and situations out of your life. And he told them that you guys need to watch and pray. Otherwise, you enter into very difficult situations that will test your faith, and you will be forced to take certain decisions and do certain things that you otherwise wouldn't have liked to do. Can I have an amen? Amen. So it's good to have time for many things. Amen. We have time for conversations on the phone. We have time for someone to describe to us what the last wedding ceremony they attended looked like KK's wedding. You know, I mean, if somebody was to tell you about KK's wedding, they would need more than an hour. You know, to start talking about the golf course and the heart-shaped pool and all those things that were around the place there. I mean, it takes more than 1 hour to talk. And we have time. We have time. And we'll be talking. And then you'll be getting another call. You put the person on hold. And then you come back and say, "Hi." And you, "What were you saying about the dress?" And the person will start talking about the shoes. He said, no. Finish the dress. Finish describing the dress. We have time for conversations that do not even concern us. We have time for gossip about people's lives and issues in people's lives that do not concern you. Things that do not concern you, we have time for them. We have time to watch movies. Unending movies. Huh? An ending part 1, part 2, part 3, and part 4. We have time and we sit behind the things. We pause them and we go and take a shower and come back in our pyjamas because when we were falling asleep, we want to fall asleep dressed properly. And go and continue. But when it comes to praying for 1 hour, it becomes a problem. Hallelujah. But everybody needs to learn how to pray for long hours. Can I have an amen? Amen. Praying for long hours is a very important part of your Christian development. Amen. Amen. There are some things that you have to pray for over and over and over again. Notice how it says in the last part of verse 44, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 44. You know, he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Did you see that? Jesus was praying for the third time using the same words. That means praying about the same thing for the third time. Hallelujah. So perhaps some things have not changed or some prayers have not been answered because you have not prayed enough about them. Do you understand? You have just done a hit and run type of prayer. You know, you just touched it briefly and just ran away somewhere. You know, that kind of prayer does not affect everything, especially when you are praying about an event that is about to unfold. You know, in the case of Jesus, he was about to go through his suffering. He was about to be sold. He was about to go to the cross, you know. And at every stage of that process, there was going to be a temptation to abort the whole thing, which is the main reason why he came to this earth, to come and live and die for us so we can be saved. But you know, that it was a process, and it was a very painful process that lasted a period of time. And at this prayer, he had been praying, asking God to just take this thing away. I'm glad God didn't answer that prayer. Hallelujah. Because then none of us would be saved. He was praying that God would take this cup away. Hallelujah. So there are many things that you may actually quit when you shouldn't quit. But you may quit it because you have not prayed for the grace that allows you to stay in that situation or be with that thing for a long time. Do you see what I'm saying? Those kinds of prayers are not short prayers. You pray them over and over. And Jesus was praying about this thing, the same words, three times he was praying and asking the Lord, Lord, please help me. Lord, strengthen me. Lord, help me. Help me. Help me to go through this thing. Can I have an amen? Amen. So we need to learn how to pray. Hallelujah. When you're praying about your future, you don't pray short prayers about your future, because your future is a long time. Hallelujah. When you're praying about forever, forever is a long time. Amen. When you're praying for your children, you should be praying for a long time. When you're praying about the church, you should be praying for a long time. We don't pray 2-minute prayers for the church. Hallelujah. Because it's dynamic. It's something that is going to be affected by so many different things, so many different people, many different times, many different seasons. You know, when you're praying to choose a life partner, you're praying for a husband or a wife, you don't pray short prayers. Hallelujah. You don't pray for a husband like you're praying, you know, which shop should you buy your shoe from? It's not on the same level. It's not on the same level. Long after your shoes are worn and thrown away, this husband will be around. Perhaps how long whatever it is will affect your life is a clue to how long you must pray about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. That is why when we are praying over food, we pray short prayers. Because the food itself, it will just go in and out. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But something that's going to be with you, that will affect you for a long time, calls for long prayers. Hallelujah. You need to be with the Lord for a long time on the issue. Hallelujah. And Jesus was praying for a long time and found it unfortunate that his disciples could not do the same. He found it unfortunate that his disciples, no wonder Peter denied him. Jesus saw all these things coming, you see, and he said, you need to watch and pray, otherwise you'll be tempted. You'll be tempted to do something you shouldn't do. Hallelujah. You'll be tempted to do something you shouldn't do. You know, when Jesus finished praying here and came back to the disciples, when they came back, some soldiers had come and arrest him. Peter, who had been sleeping and not praying, he just got up and took a sword and chopped off one of the guy's ears. Wow. And Jesus took the ears and he put it back. And he told him, see, this is what I was saying. That if you don't watch and pray, you will enter into temptation. You will do the wrong thing. You will take the wrong steps. You will react wrongly to situations and circumstances that come into your life. You will respond in the wrong way to a challenge that comes into your life because you have not prayed. You are just sleeping. Hallelujah. But Jesus saw it coming. And so when he had been praying, when he was faced with the same situation, he knew that this is not an ear-cutting opportunity. This is not a time to get back on at someone. It's not a time to revenge. It's not a time to fight physically. Do you understand? So he and Peter were in the same situation, but their reactions were different. And it looks like their reactions were determined by how much they had been praying. The one who had been sleeping felt that, look, this is a physical fight. You know, this is something you need to take the guy on. You need to take him on physically. You need to beat him. You need to slap him. You need to chop off his ear. You need to do something physical. You need to say something to him that he will never forget. You need to insult him. You need to give him your peace of mind. Something physical. Or put pepper in his food so he cannot eat it. Because if you don't cook for him, he will tell everybody you didn't cook for him. You just stuff the food with pepper. So you cooked, it's just that it was not edible. Hallelujah. So many people respond wrongly to challenges that come into their lives because they are not praying. But it's very interesting that both Jesus and Peter, looking at the same situation, one person felt that this is something you must fight physically. Another person said, no, leave it, let it be. Just leave it. Jesus voluntarily surrendered himself to the people to arrest him. How do you know which one you're supposed to fight? Because you see, one time Jesus was taken over to a cliff. They were going to throw him down and he turned away and walked. He didn't let them do that. So how do you know one from the other? How do you tell which one is a time for, you know, responding physically or turning around to walk away or actually doing something about it? It is your prayer life that helps you determine that. Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? So it is important for us to pray long prayers. Amen. Every one of us must learn the art of praying for at least 1 hour. Amen. You must learn how to be by yourself for at least 1 hour. Because Jesus' shock was at the fact that the disciples couldn't pray for 1 hour. He just said, no, 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 no. 1 hour is the minimum. You should be able to say, your name is Peter. You are a follower of Christ. You've been following me. You should be able to pray for 1 hour. You should be able to pray for 1 hour. You should be able to stay in your room by yourself and pray and commune with God for at least 1 hour. Hallelujah. Lift up your right hand and say, I will pray for 1 hour. Say, I will pray for 1 hour. I will pray for 1 hour. Hallelujah. Nobody knows what's ahead of us. Nobody knows what it's going to be in the months and years ahead. But if we pray and spend time praying, no matter what happens, we will respond appropriately and we will do the right thing by the grace of God. Say amen. Amen. Principle number 9. It is important to enter your closet for effective prayer. It is important to enter your closet for effective prayer. Because we read Daniel chapter 6. If you go very quickly to the chapter 1, you know, Daniel, when he knew that the writing was signed, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, just chapter 1, the verse that is quoted there, Daniel chapter, or you can put it on the screen. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Hallelujah. Now, Daniel is showing us that where you pray is important. Amen. Daniel is showing us that where you pray is important in determining how effective that prayer will be. Hallelujah. One of the reasons why people do not pray for long is because of where they are praying. Because you are too distracted. Do you see what I'm saying? I mean, you cannot pray much or cannot pray very effectively when you are praying and the MBA is also on there. and you are watching the NBA and praying at the same time. Do you see? So it is important to withdraw yourself and go to a place. Daniel went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, you know, he went into the house and then into his chamber in the house. Hallelujah. So it is important for you to go to a place where your prayer can be private. Hallelujah. Privacy in prayer is important. You should be able to pray on your own in a private place, away from the little children, so they don't come and pull your hair while you're praying. So they don't come and remove your things while you're praying. Hallelujah. It's important to go into the closet and pray. It's important to rise up, sometimes rise up from where you are and take a few steps somewhere else and actually pray. Hallelujah. So many Christians can only pray when they are in a group. They cannot stay in a room on their own and pray for 1 hour. That is a great handicap. There is a difference between praying alone and praying with a group of people. And both types of prayer are important. If you can pray for 3 hours on your own, then you can pray for 6 hours with other people. It is easier to pray in a group. Each time you expand your ability to pray alone, you are expanding your ability to chalk great achievements in prayer. Hallelujah. So learn to pray on your own in your closet. Amen. Amen. Learn to pray on your own in your closet. Closet just means private place, a quiet place, a part of your house or something, and go in there and pray. And you will see that it will be a blessing to you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6. You know, the Bible says in verse 5, When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Can you give me that verse? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. It says, they love to pray, you know, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets. You just imagine if as you were coming to church right here, you found somebody on the corner just praying. But he said, these people love to pray in public places with the express intention of being seen by people to be praying. Do you see? They wanted to be seen by people, that they may be seen of men. Then he said, verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, verse 6, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You know, so here is Daniel who is going into his chamber to pray. And now here is Jesus Christ teaching us how to pray. And he says, when you are praying, go into a private place. He said, go into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, why are you supposed to shut the door? For what? Against what? Distractions, isn't it? Yeah. So that people will not come to you, isn't it? Well, now people have a new way of coming to you without coming through your door. Is it not true? So you see that while you are trying to concentrate on your prayer, you are getting WhatsApp messages. Do you understand? So unless you begin to expand your door, door just means access. Door just means access. Anytime you talk about a door, you are talking about an access way, a way to get to a place. Hallelujah. So when someone says a door has been opened to me in Hollywood, it doesn't mean that there's a physical door in Hollywood. There are so many doors. Which one are you talking about? But a door just means access, isn't it? Right. So if we are talking about closing our doors, he says, shut thy door. If you're talking about closing your door, then Jesus is saying that there is something about closing or restricting access to you for effective prayer. that if you're going to pray effectively, you need to reduce access to you. Amen. You need to shut thy door. You need to shut the means by which people can reach you. That is why when you mean to pray for long periods, you need to learn how to turn off the phone. If you turn off your phone, you have actually shut thy door. Because there's no access to you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it's not just the physical door in the room where you are. Because these days, people can, you can be talking even to 20 people. You have 20 different people in the room with you, and none of them came through that door. Do you see what I'm saying? Yet they are all talking to you. Hallelujah. Amen. I mean, through Facebook alone, you can travel to Australia and travel to New Zealand and go quickly to Africa and go to Kumasi and come quickly to South Africa and pass through Nairobi and come back to LA all in your little room. During your prayer. Hallelujah. So to avoid such temptations, you need to do what? Shut the door. Amen. Shut the door. Put the phone away. When you really mean to pray, put the phone away. Amen. And learn how to pray and to concentrate and to be with the Lord for that period for effective prayer. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. He said, when thou hast shut thy door, then pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Then principle number 10. I think that will be the last one. That's the last one. Principle number 10. Everyone must develop the ability and the formula for praying four times a day. Amen. Praying four times a day. He said there are four important times to pray. Morning, afternoon, evening, and all the time. Amen. What are the four important times? Morning,
afternoon,
evening, and all the time. Hallelujah. Now Jesus prayed morning, afternoon, evening. Hallelujah. So in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, we see how Jesus prayed in the morning. It says, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Hallelujah. So can you see from Jesus' own example that he's going to a private place, isn't it? He's attempting to go into his closet. He went into a solitary place. He went into a solitary place. He went to a place where he was by himself. And there he prayed. And he did that early in the morning, a great while before day. Hallelujah. In our church, we have an early morning prayer every Tuesday to Friday from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. Just 1 hour that we wake up and we try to be on the phone with each other and we pray together. 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning. And I want to invite you to be part of it. Amen? I want to invite you to be part of it because we are following the example of Jesus.
Amen?
Amen? We are following the example of Jesus. So you need to go to bed early. Do you see? If you watch all those late night movies, you cannot pray in the morning. Hallelujah. You see that your favorite verse will be, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So every day you'll be saying, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do you understand? So you need to go to bed early. You must plan for prayer. Just the same way you plan when you have an interview the next morning. You know, you go to bed with the interview in mind. You prepare yourself for it. You iron your clothes. You select your clothes and you choose the things you're going. You have to plan because the thing is important to you. It's not something that you're just going to find yourself doing. So if you are serious about prayer, you have to plan for it. You have to prepare for it. Hallelujah. You don't just drop yourself on your bed. You take your phone, you set an alarm, and you set multiple alarms so you can wake up. Hallelujah. Because some of us, we know that we are not so easy to wake up. I mean, you need multiple alarms ringing, different sounds, you know, a cock crowing, fire truck, ambulance, you know, the cock will crow first, you won't wake up, then the fire truck will come, and then the police service, then the ambulance will also have to ring. I mean, different sounds you need to make so that you can get yourself up. Hallelujah. That is why you must not take the resurrection of the Lord for lightly. It's not a light thing. Because you cannot get out of bed. He rose from the dead. So you must respect him for that. Hallelujah. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So it is very, very important for us to pray in the morning. Why? What is so important about morning prayer? Prayer in the morning is very good because you meet God before you meet the devil. Amen. I like that particular statement. You meet God before you meet the devil. Hallelujah. Because often the person you meet first sort of decides how your day is going to go. Isn't it? Yeah. Sometimes your day is already spoiled before it starts. It's because of who you met first. So when you pray in the morning, you meet God before you meet the devil. You meet God before you meet the circumstances of life. And God anoints you to overcome every mountain that you will encounter in your life. Amen. Amen. Then prayer in the afternoon signifies prayer in the midst of activities. You know, now Mark chapter 6 and verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. So this prayer is not in the morning, but it's in the middle of his work. Hallelujah. In the middle of his work day, Jesus was able to pause, take a break. He sent the people away and then he went to the mountain to pray. Again, you see that he goes somewhere to pray. So perhaps we can take a cue from that and start learning how to pray in the middle of our day. Amen. To be able to take a break during your lunch break or some time like that to go to the car park, sit in your car and spend even 15 minutes praying. Hallelujah. Who knows? It will make such a difference in your life. Hallelujah. It might deliver you from something the enemy has scheduled for your life. It might deliver you from something that is about to happen to change your life. It might deliver you from an accident. It might deliver you from a death. It might deliver you from something serious that is about to happen. Right in the middle of the day, you must learn to take prayer breaks. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can go for a prayer walk. Amen. You can just step out. You can just tell everyone, I'll be back. And you step out and go for a prayer walk. You go for 15 minutes round the block. You go for 20 minutes round the block and just go round praying and talking to God and come back to do your work. Hallelujah. Then Jesus also prayed in the evening or in the night. Hallelujah. Wow. Jesus prayed in the night. You know, Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Hallelujah. It came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Look, the best example of anything Christian is Christ himself. Amen. And as we're reading the scriptures, you can see how he's always going somewhere away from people and going to pray. And he went and he prayed all night. He continued all night in prayer. You know, Bishop says there is something about praying in the night that is different from praying during the day. It is a very different experience. I have heard that witches are very active around 2 a.m. in the night. Perhaps when you pray in the night, you are tackling the forces of darkness in a different way. After all, they are called forces of darkness, isn't it? So maybe they operate in the night and operate in the dark. Hallelujah. And so it is important for us to pray in the night and to fight spiritual battles when the battles are on. Not to sleep through the night and wake up to find whatever has happened. Hallelujah. Everybody must have periodic, if not regular, all night prayer times. Amen. Where you pray through the night. Will it be difficult? Yes, it will be. Hallelujah. But difficult doesn't mean it can't be done or that it shouldn't be done. There are ways of doing it. Amen. That's why you need to pray. Sometimes keep a video on, you know, watching some worship or something like that. I think the last time we had a prayer, an all-night prayer, we had this worship on, you know. And these days you can do it very easily because you go to YouTube and then you select a song. When you select a song and you look in the list, you see there's something called 50 plus, which gives you a selection of songs like the one you selected. And they'll be playing in a playlist. You don't have to do anything. They'll just repeat themselves and just be playing for you. Do you see what I'm saying? So it's now very easy to be a prayerful Christian. Wow. Can I have an amen? Amen? You don't even have to own any music at all. All you need is to have a computer or an iPad or something that can go onto YouTube and go onto you. Even your little iPhone can do it for you. You go to YouTube and then you start playing the music, you know, and you must keep the music up a bit so it doesn't become rather a lullaby that puts you to sleep. You see what I'm saying? Yeah, but it needs to be something that disturbs you a little bit so that you can stay awake. You can't peacefully sleep. Do you get it? Yeah, I know there are some gifted sleepers who can sleep through anything. That one is a talent. But for most regular people, you know, if the music is loud enough, it keeps you awake. Wow. Are you getting it? Yeah, it keeps you awake because you can't peacefully fall asleep. Even if you doze off, it brings you back very quickly and you cannot continue. So these are all strategies for prayer. Amen. You can listen to a message, listen to preaching. That also holds your interest and keeps you awake. Hallelujah. Listen to a message you love, a message you enjoy listening to, and you're going to find it will keep you awake and it will keep you praying for a long time. Hallelujah. And sometimes you need to combine the music with the preaching. So you find out you're not alone. It's like you're in great company and it really and greatly helps your prayer time. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What do you think? Is it helpful? Then the last one is to pray without season. You know, prayer is intended to be a never-ending stream of communication with your Heavenly Father. He has given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of speaking in tongues. Amen. Bishop says, I pray all the time. My wife tells me that sometimes I pray in my sleep. You know, the Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without season. You can pray on the bus, on your way to work. You can pray softly to yourself when you are in the office. You can pray when you are in the shower. God is happy when His children are constantly in touch with Him. Hallelujah. So you can pray. Look at the last paragraph. You can pray without season. I see you praying in the morning and in the evening. God is changing your life because of your newfound prayer life. Your marriage, business, and ministry will never be the same by the time you finish reading this book. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So you need to decide to become prayerful. Amen. You need to decide when, like Daniel, you decide to pray for long hours, you will discover that you will need to have a pattern or a formula for prayer. You will need something that will guide you in your prayer life. And in the next chapters, we'll study the formula for prayer. Amen. So let's quickly go through the principles before we close. Let's stand to our feet as we read the principles. Let's read through all 10 principles. They're summarized right there so we can just go through Daniel's principles of prayer. Number one, prayer is very important. Everybody just read it. Everybody read it. I want to hear you say it. 1, 2, 3, go. Prayer is very important. Everybody say prayer is very important. Point to somebody and say prayer is very important. Hallelujah. Number two, no one is ever too busy, too blessed, or too successful to pray. Wow. No one is ever too busy, too blessed, or too successful to pray. Tell your neighbor that includes you. Wow. Say that includes you. You are not too busy, too blessed, or too successful to pray. Hallelujah. Number three, prayer is the source of our power and protection, isn't it? Number four, prayer is important in acquiring and sustaining. Say it again. Prayer is important in acquiring and sustaining the blessings of God. Hallelujah. So prayer will bring blessings into your life, and prayer will retain those blessings in your life. There is no point in a blessing just coming in your life and then just taking off. Isn't it? Yeah. And when you have something, the next important thing is how to keep it or how to continue having it. Hallelujah. Amen. And so prayer will not only bring you the things, prayer will keep those things in your life. Say amen. Amen. Right, number five, please. For prayer to be effective, it must be habitual, isn't it? It must be a habit. For prayer to be effective, it must be what? A habit. Very few things affect your life through one encounter. Hallelujah. The most significant things that affect us most significantly are things we do over a period. Hallelujah. So even when you are sick and you go to the doctor, you see who give you medication. He said, take this one 2 times a day for 7 days. Isn't it? Yeah. See, many of us, when we start taking antibiotics and so on, you take the first day, second day, and then you start to feel well a little bit, and you forget about it. Is it not true? Then before long, you start to shiver again. Isn't it? Because you didn't take enough of it to overwhelm the thing that is fighting against you. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you need to a good dose of it. You need a habit of prayer so that you can be in a mode where you easily overwhelm the things that are fighting against you. Can I have an amen? Amen. All right. Next one. It must continue in troubled times and in times of peace. Amen. Once you form a habit out of prayer, you find yourself praying at all times, good times and bad times. Hallelujah. Amen. One pastor told me 2 days ago, he said he was in a situation, he said he even forgot all his prayers. He didn't know which prayer to pray. Do you understand? When you come under pressure, you will not even know what prayer to pray. As you are fighting to know what prayer to pray, the devil will start telling you, it's too late, it's too late, it's too late, it's too late. And then you begin to wrestle in your mind whether you should accept that it's too late, or maybe you should pray now. Perhaps God will do something. You know, it's very confusing. So don't wait till you get into trouble. Hallelujah. Right. Then next one. Every nation needs what? Lots of prayer and prayerful leaders. And then number next. It is important to pray for long periods of time. And the next one. It is important to enter your closet for effective prayer. And the last one, everyone must develop the ability and the family for praying 4 times a day. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by this chapter? I think it's a great blessing. Put your hands together for the Lord. And we're grateful to Bishop for such an important study, isn't it? It's a blessing when someone has taken his time to break down the scriptures so we can understand and be so blessed. Amen. Now just bow your heads with me. We're bringing the service to a quick close, and let's pray. Everybody just bow your heads. Let's pray. I want you to take just a moment this afternoon and talk to God about your prayer life and say, Lord, I know that I'm not one of those known for much prayer. But I know that you are teaching me this for a reason. and that you can make a difference in my life. So Lord, help me. I want to be prayerful. Talk to God, everybody, and say, Lord, I want to be one of the prayerful ones. I want to be one of those people who prays. I want to pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, in the middle of my day, while everything is so busy, while I have so much on my plate, I still want to be able to pray. I still want to be able to pray. I still want to be able to pray. I want to pray in the morning. I want to pray in the afternoon. I want to pray in good times and pray in troubled times and bad times. When things are not as I want them to be, I want to be able to pray. When things are the way I want them to be, I want to be able to pray. I just want to be prayerful. I want to be prayerful. And Lord, I know you can help me. Help me. Help me, Jesus, to be prayerful. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Everybody pray. Pray. Lift up your hand to the Lord and say, I commit myself to you. My future, my life. You know my future. I don't know what the devil has in store, but you know what the enemy has in store. And I know that that may be the reason why you are encouraging me at this time to pray. As we come to the end of the year, we're bringing the year to a close. The enemy likes to attack people during this time of the year to destroy lives, invade homes with misery and grief and tragedy. But God is able to deliver us from all such things. If only we will pray. If only we will take time. If only we will make the time and pray. God will deliver us. God will save us. God will not leave us in his hands. Oh yes, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for prayer. Thank you for the grace to pray as we ought. In the name of Jesus, we are grateful to you, O Lord. We are grateful to you, O Lord. We are grateful to you, O Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Oh, yes, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. And thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for all the things you have taught us in this first chapter of this lesson, oh God. We are praying in Jesus' name that you will continue to visit us. Oh God, we pray that you will be merciful unto us. We pray, oh God, that you will open our eyes to the reality and to the truth about prayer, about personal prayer. Help us to be individually prayerful. Help us to pray as you would like us to pray. In the name of Jesus, strengthen us. Help us, oh God, to remove our time from playing video games, from watching television, and from doing so many other things, and to begin to redirect some of the time that you have given to us to a more fruitful venture, such as prayer and communing with God. We're grateful to you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Now, as we close the service this morning, I want you to be sure that you are born again. I want you to be sure that if you die today, you will go to heaven. And God has shown us that the way to come to God, what qualifies us to go to heaven, is that we are washed by the blood of Jesus. That each of us is washed by the blood of Jesus. So if you want to be washed by the blood of Jesus, or be sure that you are washed by the blood of Jesus, I want you to join everyone as we say this prayer together. Say, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus. I acknowledge my sins. And I know that I cannot come to God except through you. So Lord Jesus, I come to you acknowledging I'm a sinner and that you died for my sins. Only the blood of Jesus can wash me white as snow and cleanse me from my sins and make me a child of God. So Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Let your blood wash me. Let it cleanse me and clean me, O God. Make me a child of God. Help me to live for you, O God. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen.